Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Jane. Any time can be hammer time.
Even when you're in a doze.
Yes.
I have an announcement to make. They got close-up images of Pluto.
Really? Did they see Dopey and Goofy there, too?
No, but did you know that up until 2011 or something like that, Pluto was just a speck in the telescope? They knew about one moon named Charon, but they didn't know about the other moons, Nix, Styx, Hydra, and Kerberos.
Wow. And Kurt Cobain, too. Isn't it amazing with all that space, they can't find any other human beings floating around?
They actually launched the probe on January 19, 2006. So it took the probe 9 years to get to Pluto. The probe was the size of a piano and weighed 1,054 pounds. It has 7 instruments on board to take images and sample Pluto's atmosphere.
You know, what's amazing is that with all that people, it's like they don't believe that even if you don't believe God as maybe a Christian would or a Muslim, you just don't believe that there's any purpose or rhyme or reason to the universe. And when you go out to space, you just see how vast it is. We have this kind of nonchalant attitude towards God, like, oh, he's kind of like Uncle Charlie. You kind of negotiate with him. Once you start going out into space and it goes on and on and on, and you realize that how it's constructed for us to rotate on this planet, whoever made this, whoever put it together, this isn't someone you want to casually ignore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is pulling it that is like so super intense. I mean, we're like little specks of dust on his arm, or, you know, whoever this person is. I would be very careful with how I would tread with such a person, you know? I mean, I would want to be on his good side is what I'm saying.
Also, it has an ice mountain, water, and methane ice, which I'm not really sure what that means. It's not like crystal meth.
Do they have Disneyland on Pluto?
No, they just, it's pretty uninhabitable, I'm pretty sure. The spacecraft only got 476,000 miles close to Pluto, but it was still, the images are pretty clear.
How many miles away?
476,000.
Oh, mercy. Well, I had a car that had a couple hundred thousand on it, so I guess that's close.
I don't think, well, there was no humans on the spacecraft, obviously. They wouldn't have lived that long.
Yeah.
So anyways, they also got a cool picture of Jupiter with its volcanic moon. It's a very pretty, it's huge and it's striped.
You know, obviously if you're trying to do space travel for extended time, two of the biggest problems are having oxygen. Actually, three problems. Oxygen, water, and food that can last, you know, years. But there's another problem involved with it. Do you know what that is as far as having people out in space, you know, for years?
No. Is this a joke?
No, this is actually the truth, although I imagine if...
I thought you were going to tell, like, a joke about someone who couldn't breathe or something.
No, could you imagine being, like, in a ship, especially a man and a woman, and you can't stand the other person? It's like, where are you going to go, right? You're stuck with them. No, but the issue is gravity. Because there's no gravity out there or not significant pull, the body literally falls apart. Like, it needs gravity pushing down on it and us pushing against it to give us strength to our bones. For some reason, they can't figure it out, but our bones just start in space. It starts to lose density and mass, and theoretically, if they stayed out in space, you know, it happens even just in 2 or 3 months, it starts to happen. If they're out there for years, you might end up with spineless chicken people by the time they get there. True story. I mean, they'd have to fix that problem.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. We are going to change the subject, but okay. Keep on. I was just going to mention one thing about Jupiter when you're done.
Well, I was going to say, because, you know, half the time people, including myself, we complain about gravity. I mean, that's what gives me my back pain. You know, it's gravity pushing down on the spine, on the base of my my butt, basically. And, you know, women and men, too, we complain about gravity, the effects of it on our skin, wrinkles, things like that. But surprisingly, you know... It's like if your prayer was answered, you know, people who say, oh, I just don't want this. You can imagine no gravity. We just start floating off into space. There's no resistance. You know, you try to run to the other side of the room. You can't. You're just drifting off. So it's kind of funny. We complain about things that we need, you know, surprisingly.
I read an interesting article about, well, when I did that test, help Lauren with the chemistry test, there's a certain amount of air pressure in the atmosphere that keeps our body grounded on the ground, and there's always a constant friction in the gravity process of your body being weighted down. So
well,
I was just going to mention some.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this probe was out there 9 years. It came face-to-face with Pluto, and there's a really cool picture on CNN of the red and bluish stripes of Jupiter with its moon, which is the largest planet. So that is pretty amazing. It's more amazing than any other thing in the news this week. But I was going to mention that Gene Simmons was on CNN tonight, and I think one time you mentioned how profound he was with his comments on that Christian quarterback that he defended.
Right.
That yeah, so anyways, tonight he said something pretty profound, too. They were interviewing him because he's a friend of Donald Trump's. He was on that TV show, you know, that entrepreneurial show that Trump used to run on NBC. Well, his main comment was, is we're the people, we're the electorate. There's only one vote, one man. We're calling the shots. It's our parade. They have to meet our citizens' approval. It's not them trying to influence us how to vote. Yes, it is on one sense, but it's the candidates that have to prove to us their worthiness. It's not the other way around. So he said that Donald Trump is a straight shooter. He's a good family man, even though he's been married more than once. He has, you know, a couple kids from each marriage, and that he tells it like it is. There's no hidden cover. But he also mentioned that there should be lively debates between Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, and Donald Trump, because that's what it's all about. Like, even if you don't agree with what they say or it's jaded, just give them the chance to debate it. Don't try to put a spin on everything they say. But just the way he said it in the constitutional eloquence of it all is what made him come off so well on the TV tonight.
Well, he's a pretty smart dude, and he actually married a porn actress, Shannon Tweed, and she did kind of soft porn stuff. And he's actually, you know, although he started KISS, and he's kind of him and Paul Stanley are kind of the masterminds of the group, he's really kind of at home, kind of the wuss. I mean, basically, the women run the show. He's a mama's boy. Jewish kid, very smart. And
did you know he's an immigrant?
I knew the family was. I didn't know he was from
Israel.
Well,
he said my family was immigrants. We came over here legally. I think he might be from Hungary or somewhere like that. I'm going to look it up while you're talking. Go ahead.
Well, there was a point where in call it the career of KISS, where the band kind of peaked and they were fading. Record labels weren't picking them up to do more albums. And theoretically, they were kind of done in, you know, kind of end of the road. And this is after about 20, 25 years. And plus the band was, you know, breaking up, guys leaving. Drummer, I think Peter Chris, Paul Chris, something like that, and Ace Frehley, the guitarist. There's a lot of up and down with the band. And they were trying to bring in different players. And in the process of all this, they did something very revolutionary, and that's basically they became exclusive to themselves. They started renting hotels, kind of like the Hyatt Hotel, the Radisson, or wherever. And they would basically rent out, they'd buy up, you know, the lobby or the meeting conference room or wherever, and they'd have a KISS convention. And at the KISS convention, you could meet them, and you could buy KISS, you know, leather jackets, guitars, autographed memorabilia, whatever. But they controlled it all. It was all them. And people were hungry for this stuff. They would pay, you know, whatever the admission was, whether it's $20 or $50 or $100, and they go in there, they would pay, lay down the money to buy KISS memorabilia and meet them. And it became such a hot ticket that all the outside promoters wanted to get in on it, and they basically said, screw you, you know, you kicked us out the door. We run the show now. And that revitalized them. They started doing their own concerts and just made millions and millions of dollars. But it's just interesting to see a band do something revolutionary and take control and succeed.
Yeah, they upstarted. They were their own invention. I just want to throw something in there. I was half right. Gene Simmons, born Chaim Witz. Chaim is a popular Jewish name, C-H-A-I-M. He was born in Israel. He moved over here at 8 and lived in Queens with his mother. His mother, Flora Florence Klein, formerly Kovacs, was born in Hungary, and her brother survived the Jewish concentration camps. Her brother was named Larry Klein. So that's a pretty humble beginnings.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Like, sounds like they went through the ringer.
His first notable job was being a typist at the fashion magazine Vogue. He was a good typist. And the Beatles were his biggest influence.
I guess he took a turn in careers there. It's interesting, early Kiss stuff kind of sounded garage band. They technically weren't really, you know, great, but as they moved along, they got more and more, they got their style, and they really invented the big show, or at least they perfected it. The whole costumes, pyrotechnics, the whole... Yeah, even the Kiss name and the hype
would
of it.
Would you say they're a forerunner to Madonna? Like, would she have been around with her big shows if it wasn't for them?
I think either way, Madonna was a force in music. And there are people like, not just her, but people like her. That it would have happened anyway, but people like Kiss is part of a whole wave. And they really were... Looking back at when I was growing up, because I mean, you had groups like Led Zeppelin, you had Queen, you had Woodstock before them, but the whole glitz, glamour, the whole arena rock concept, I really think Kiss, if they didn't invent it, they certainly took it to another level that everyone else copied, and then it really blew up from there. And the whole thing is spitting blood out or fake blood and aerial stuff where you have cables and guys being dropped into the stage. You know, these guys are masters of it. Imagine playing a rock show in like, you know, 10-inch heel shoes or
they're
whatever.
They're still touring, by the way. His mother's name was Klein, but in Hungarian it translated to Kiss. But that's not why they named their band that way. It was just a coincidence. They're coming to Minneapolis this Saturday. Kiss.
Really? I know that for a while the hype was always that it stood for Knights in Satan's Service, and I heard other different forms of it. That was always the most popular. I don't know if that really had anything to do with it. They certainly didn't try to disavow anything that, you know, connected with the devil or
yeah, I don't really like the fact that his onstage name was Demon.
Right. But, you know, they knew how to market it, how to promote it, and they knew it struck a chord with the kids. And obviously, if they were a church band, no one would care. So they found the groove. And they wrote it, you know. And a whole
by
bunch
the
of
way,
other
you can buy Kiss caskets if you want to be buried in a Kiss coffin or have a Kiss slot machine in your living room or a Kiss credit card, they're available.
Isn't it amazing that Gene Simmons would be defending Tim Tebow, the Christian quarterback? They actually were trying to get him. Gene started an arena. Well, didn't start it, but they really were trying to capitalize on arena football, which is like regular football, but it's done indoors in a smaller field with less players. So it's kind of like football with walls. And you get real close to the players, and it's a different thing. You go to a regular football game, and it's like it feels like the field is like 50 yards away from you. With arena football, a guy is like literally 1 foot away from you on some plays, and afterwards you can go down to the front and actually meet people direct. You know, at a regular football game, you know, the players leave, and usually you don't have a lot of personal contact with them out of 50,000 fans. But arena football is more like 5,000 to 10,000 people, and you can get real close to it.
Really? I was just going to mention one thing about his personal life. He formerly had live-in relationships with Cher and Diana Ross. He married Shannon Tweed after dating 28 years in 2011, and they have two kids, Nick, born in 89, and Sophie, born in 92. He can speak Hungarian, German, English, and Hebrew.
Well, that's interesting. It sounds like with Diana Ross, like they shared, they passed around the band because, you know, Paul Stanley was and her were really a big item for a while. So I wonder if Gene had first. Yeah, I wonder if Gene had first crack at it. Crack.
I didn't know that. Did you follow their career only because they were successful?
No, you know what it was is being a Christian, learning drums at church. All the other kids that were learning drums, they would follow all these secular bands. I didn't, but they were like super into Kiss and into Triumph and AC/DC and so forth. And what made Kiss stand out among drummers, same thing with Rush, was the drum set. You know, like the Kiss, I think it's Peter Chris is his name. Yeah, it's a big old drum set. I mean, it was like 20 or 30 pieces. It would literally circle him. And young kids, we just found that just, oh, you know, like that was the greatest thing. And Neil Peart from Rush had a really big set and was very artistic, very theatrical playing. But basically, because of that, it's hard to ignore them. I'll put it that way. And so Diana Ross and Paul Stanley, they were kind of like a couple you'd see in People magazine. You know, they like Diana's here, and there he is with her white boyfriend. And so I didn't even know about Jean and her. Wow.
You know, even though she's lived in Europe for several years, she still tours, and she's worth $250 million. That's pretty good.
Diana Ross.
Yes, that's what it says on this website. She's worth, her net worth in 2013 is $250 million.
Well, you could figure with her being, the diva of Motown, with Berry Gordy and then that whole era. I mean, you had Diana Ross, you had Aretha Franklin,
Plus
Patti
LaBelle.
Plus she gets
residuals.
Yeah.
Like she gets residuals on all her music. She still tours in Europe and the U.S. Well, maybe not the U.S. so much, but I don't know. It just seems like a lot of money.
Well, the sad thing is that for years she didn't tour with her backup singers. You know, Diana Ross and the Supremes, they had this little... She was kind of the diva and had a little tiff with them, and they basically, as far as I know, weren't even on speaking terms. So success and money and fame sometimes can't buy band happiness.
Yeah, Mary Wilson lived a block from me in Los Feliz.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That was one of the singers.
Well, she was a beautiful, pretty lady and could sing, too. You know, she could have been up front.
I don't even think Diana Ross was the best-looking Supreme.
No, but, you know, sometimes being a diva, just the attitude can trump. Just like there's you know, there's a million gals who can sing better than Madonna and who can dance better than Madonna, but they don't have Madonna's balls.
Well, Diana Ross had an unusualness to her looks, though. She wasn't, she had those sallow eyes, like, you know, I don't know. She had a charisma quality.
Right, she basically was Michael Jackson in drag or vice versa.
Yeah, I know. They had the same kind of eyes.
Well,
that was his idol. That was one of his main idols.
I was going to say, you know, to her credit, she really, in a way, discovered the Jacksons. And she was the one who really pushed them to Berry Gordy and took Michael under her wing like it was, her son. So she had a lot to do with that.
But here's the question of the day. And we can go back to music, too. Is it true what Gene Simmons says, that the powers really... Of course, he mentioned We the People, like Pat Gallimore, Don's wife, did the other night. Is the power really in the people? is the voting block really within the individual, or has the Koch brothers and the corporate sponsors taken over, and the career politicians, as Ted Cruz was complaining about tonight on the news? Who's in charge?
Unfortunately, you know what it's like? I dog sit, right, as you know. And you get the dog out of the cage, and then you put the leash on the dog, right? And you go out running around. And at certain points during the day, I might let the dog off the leash. You know, it'll go down a hallway or to go in the parking lot or, you know, somewhere like the parking structure, somewhere that's enclosed where she really can't get into too much trouble. But the point is, really, if the dog wanted to run away, she could. I mean, she even knows I can't catch her, you know, unless she, like, slips or hurts herself. It's like, why does the dog allow me to chain her, allow me to put her in a cage? Because she grew up with that concept that she is subservient to me, you know, that I am the pack leader. She needs me. Even your kids, you know, it's like, really, if they want to run away, you can't. At a certain age, 14 or 15, you can't stop a kid. You can say, you know, you're going to go to your room. But if a kid just says, I refuse to live with you and nothing will stop me, they really, you know, they'll end up in juvenile hall. But the point is, you can't stop a kid. It's kind of the same thing with people. Why does the public put up with bad leadership? Because we've been conditioned to follow and to be sheep and to feel like we don't have the power. It's only when people get really pissed off and you have a revolution where people run into the streets with their guns that we realize, yeah, we do have the power, you know, maybe misguided, but if it gets channeled, the problem is to funnel it and channel it, you need a leader to direct it. Otherwise, you got 50 different, you know, crazed people waving their guns saying, follow me, and it's anarchy. So do we have the power? Yes, but we're conditioned not to use it.
I just remember in Fahrenheit 9/11, there's a lot of topics that were covered in that movie, but including Walmart buying peasant insurance on their employees just so they could benefit from people's death. But one of the main points of the movie was that the one thing that the rich people can't take away from us in our quasi-democracy is one man, one vote. Now, everybody knows that in most states, like Minnesota included, you go to a, there's primaries set up where you nominate people to be part of their electoral college in their own state. And out of that concentrated group, they're the ones who vote for president, but their vote is supposed to be a reflection of the state. So if two-thirds vote for Trump and one-third votes for Hillary, I mean, it's still supposed to be a reflection of the popular vote, but it isn't always the case.
And why did they set it up that way, the Electoral College?
I think the main premise was that, first of all, in the old days, only white land-holding men could vote. And they feared that the general electorate was not educated enough. Now, back in those days, a lot of people were illiterate, and the people who could read read the newspaper, but in those days, people didn't have that wide enough access to the media. Like today, we have the Huffington Post, we have Twitter, we have Facebook, we have the regular news, we have online news. So people do have access, so it's changed. They really should do away with the Electoral College.
I'm yes and no with it, because you're right. Kind of to answer the question, we do have the power, but we don't. They do have the Electoral College. They were concerned that someone crazy could convince people to vote for them. If the people were swayed, you know, take Hitler, you know, and Hitler's just an easy example, but there's other.
It could be like McCarthy, like that Joe McCarthy, that demagogue in the 50s who convinced everybody that the Hollywood people were commies. You know, it could
right.
be someone like him.
A Jim Jones person, you take any kind of leader that, you know, Fidel Castro, you take someone who's charismatic and people are swayed by them. And they were concerned that when we'd gone through a revolution and they felt like at some point in time people could revolt the other way. So they put in a little check and balance. It's actually, I don't think it's a bad thing.
You know what the hard part is, John? Now with all this social access and all these media outlets, it seems like not that many people are satisfied with one candidate. And another thing a talking head said on CNN tonight is, look how much the attention has shifted just to Donald Trump, the $10 billion capitalist. That not that many people are talking about the outspoken socialist Bernie Sanders. I mean, people like Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham, they've only been getting a little airtime. Donald Trump's been getting 50 to 60% of the primetime coverage at night. There's a lot. There's like 20 candidates on the Republican side. They could be spotlighting a lot more other people.
Oh, sure. And he likes the publicity. You know, he's an attention whore. And that's what works for him. It works for him in real estate. It works for him in promoting a pageant, a TV show, a casino. So that's his game. That's how. And a lot of his deals, he doesn't come up with the money. We think, oh, you know, like he bought this casino, he bought this property. It's like, no, he gets a group of people on a lot of his deals, a money group. He finds people with money and he goes, I'm putting together a team. We're going to go buy some property. Let's say, okay, let's take California. We'll go to Santa Monica and let's buy some property out there between there and Palisades. We'll build a little, storefront mall or something. He doesn't fill up, $1 billion or $500 million. He has a group of people put that money in. He's just the leader of the group. And he forms an LLC, a limited liability corporation. And then if the thing goes bad, loses money or goes bankrupt, he walks away from it. His name's attached, but it's only the corporation name. It's not him personally. He's lost several different big deals. And, one of his Trump, buildings in Atlantic City, a casino in Vegas, filed for bankruptcy. But it's not him. He's not going to be broke.
You want to know what the biggest problem is? He has a lot of name recognition, but somebody brought up a good point in the news tonight. At this time in the last election season, can you remember what Republican leader who was not Main Street and was ahead, and he was beating everybody out, including Mitt Romney and John McCain? Can you remember his name?
Mitt's the last guy I remember.
Herman Cain, a black guy. He was 17% in the polls. He was 5% ahead of everybody else, pretty much. But he was popular for a long time, and he had a tax plan called 999, but there was only one problem. They discovered that he cheated on his wife for many years, and his candidacy nosedived.
Right. He kind of had a shot of Novocaine, as it were.
Well, anyway, it tanked because, A, he was unknown. He was kind of like that other fast-talking guy in the Clinton years, Ross Perot, and it only takes one scandal to tank an unknown.
Yeah, it's funny. I guess once you're in, it doesn't matter whether you're Bill Clinton or John Kennedy, but for some reason, if it's getting there, you can't have the controversy. You got to keep it, keep it in the bush or keep it under the covers or the closet.
By the way, we haven't had any late night callers lately. Have you noticed?
Yeah, I guess we're just not controversial enough.
Well, I only had 5 minutes to do the description tonight. I wrote Princess Grace, Donald Trump, and Gene Simmons, and then the rest to be announced. I watched a movie last night on Princess Grace of Monaco. In some ways, I wish they wouldn't have made the movie. Because I'll tell you why. But before I tell you why, I'm gonna read Don's summary from the last day of the NAACP convention. He said the last day they had an incredible musical extravaganza featuring Eddie Lavert of the OJs and Eric Bonet, and the Attorney General Loretta Lynch spoke about, he said BS, but it was probably just like the problems going on in America. So anyways, the fact of the matter is, well, he had, do you know who Eddie Lavert of the, I know who the OJs are, don't you?
The OJs for sure. I don't know Eddie.
Yeah, anyways, I think he's just one of the singers, but they also had Bill Clinton speak yesterday. But
oh, really?
Yeah. I wonder if he commands $100,000 a speech for something like the NAACP. I hope he doesn't charge that organization that much. But
well, he is a black man, so he probably will.
Well, I hope he does it for free, but I was going to mention something else. Oh, okay, so I saw this movie last night with Nicole Kidman. I guess the reason I wish they wouldn't have made the movie is because when Princess Grace was whisked off to marry Prince Rainier of Monaco, it was kind of like a fairy tale wedding. Well, it showed all the negative effects of her changing her lifestyle pretty radically. She pretty much went in there with rose-colored glasses and didn't realize all the sacrifices she had to make. And she was raising children, but she also had a lot of pressure to act right politically and do the right thing. And she was an outspoken woman. And he was friends with Onassis, the one who married Jackie Kennedy eventually, and because he used to yacht around Monaco and Greece. Well, anyways, she opened up her mouth a few times, you know, about a woman's prerogative because her dad taught her to be outspoken. And then eventually Alfred Hitchcock, she was in the movie Rear Window, by the way, Grace Kelly. He came to visit her in Monaco and offered her a script. It was about a kleptomaniac woman, and she was going to take the script even though she had born 2 out of 3 children. Her husband said it was okay, but then there was a scandal between Monaco and France where France wanted to impose a tax because Monaco was like a French outpost, and nobody in the country approved of her going back into movies, so she was pretty much locked into her lifestyle, and it just kind of showed how her life didn't turn out how she planned for it to be. So I like the movie. I'm only halfway done with it. But I guess no matter where you go, politics restrains people. And she wanted to be free from it, but she couldn't because this one person who worked on the staff of her and her husband convinced her that this is the role of your life. Now leave a proper legacy and put everything into it. This is the life you chose. Don't be fickle and run back to Hollywood. You know, do well for your country. So that's what she chose in the end.
Well, good for her. I think that probably, though, it really depends how you set up the marriage. In other words, if you say in the beginning, you know, I'm a movie star in Hollywood and this is what I do, and, you know, if you love me, this is what you're accepting, just as I accept you're a king. Now, how many kings are there compared to Hollywood actors? There's just a handful of kings. So a country and a kingship, that's a very important thing. So she probably made a good choice. The problem with most of this stuff is you don't know until you do it. You know, the second time around, she would have been probably a lot better at it. But the first time, you have idealistic ideas that don't pan out. And that's
well,
probably
it was also during a time where women's liberation was just getting off the ground. Like, she married him in the early 60s, but women didn't really flaunt their self-will around, especially if you married into, you know, Monaco was considered a European colony, like they had European values, so she couldn't just, like, do whatever she felt like.
Right, and I'm sure, I mean, the role model was more like Jackie Kennedy. Just smile, show your nice house and your beautiful kids while your husband goes and sleeps with other women.
And even if you know about it, don't say anything. Don't make a scene. Whereas nowadays, it'd be on Instagram, Twitter, and, you know, it would blow up. Like, example, Monica.
Prince Veneer did love her.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't cheat on her, but they met at the Cannes Festival in 1957.
Yep.
The thing is, John, is not all men cheat. I mean,
Kennedy.
It was a Jackie
Kennedy
had it worse.
With the Kennedys, everything was hush-hush. With Bill Clinton, it was like, you know, the press was just dying to blow this thing up and tell the whole world. So, I mean, just in, you know, 25, 30 years, the whole geography changed as far as how scandals were handled.
Oh, I do have a good point regarding that. You know, between up until the Kennedy years, there was a gentleman's agreement with the press. They didn't expose really big scandals. But one thing Gene Simmons said tonight on CNN was that, you know, the dialogue is rather coarse in modern-day politics. People are rude. He said that people need to talk a little nicer and be more eloquent and not just always lowball everything, you know, and go for the grit, you know, the way that, for example, Ted Cruz was criticizing, I can't remember how he was doing it tonight, but he was criticizing, like, the career politicians tonight. Like, people are always taking shots at other candidates at their integrity. In the old days, like Adlai Stevenson, when he ran in a big race, I think it was in the, he was the running mate. I think he ran against Eisenhower, but he used to also be a vice president. But nobody took low pot shots at people all the time. They just stated their opinion, and the best man won. So what's your opinion on that?
My opinion is that people are getting too much information, too much personal information, and a little privacy is a nice thing. And we don't need to know every split second. I'm just waiting for, you know, them to attach cameras to people's vaginas and to their underwear so we can see with GPS so we can see everything they're doing at every moment. I mean, you know, if it was out there that some celebrities would use it. That's the level it's getting into. And really, we don't have to know all that kind of stuff. You know, people, privacy is there for a reason. There's a reason why we have private thoughts. Our thoughts are not supposed to be exposed to the whole world every second. That's kind of the way God made it. And God's kind of a mysterious guy. You know, no matter how you interpret him, he's not running around going, "Hi, I'm God." You know, he may have a book or two. He may have a revelation here or there, but you can't just, no one can walk up and say, "Here's God, here's your appointment, see him, you know, and, you know, we got video on it." No, he's a mysterious guy.
You want to hear one of the better points said tonight? I think it was about, well, now I forgot what I was talking about. Oh, I know. They were talking about the ESPY Awards and Caitlyn Jenner winning the Courage Award, which you mentioned 2 weeks ago. Well, one of the commentators said if Caitlyn Jenner had just had a surgery and turned from a man to a woman and not been on a reality show, the context would have been different. Like, people would have judged him/her in a different context. But because he's been so overexposed in the last 5 years, that's kind of put a spin on his character and his integrity. So they were talking about, there was some big commentator who disapproved of Caitlyn Jenner winning the award, and the commentator thought, the one who was commenting on the commentator thought it was because of his attachment to a reality series, in which everything's exposed, every thought, every feeling, every decision. Kind of backing up what you just said.
Right, and if you look at, like, it's the Arthur Ashe Award, and you know, people facing challenges, I mean, things that they can't control, you know, cancer or dying. And so
Arthur
here
Ashe got AIDS from a blood transfusion. Did you know that?
Yes, although in the context of this conversation, I'd forgotten it, you know, exactly how he died. I knew it was a tragic situation. So here you have something, you know, a person being courageous in the middle of something they had no control over. Or, you know, you contrast against something that, a decision that, you know, Bruce Jenner had every control over. It's just a different, the whole angle of it's off.
Well, I'm on the same page as you. Like, yes, it takes courage to see. The thing is the spin on it. Like, okay, there was this jockish-looking woman. You know, she looked kind of masculine tonight. She said it what Caitlyn Jenner said in the speech was that her speech was that the reason I'm accepting this award, like, I don't really want the publicity, but if it helps one kid identify with their proper gender, then it'll be worth it. But the fact that the whole line of thinking regarding that, people should accept themselves for who they are from birth. If God made you a woman, he made you a woman. If he made you a man, he made you a man. You should embrace what God made you.
Right. And the fact is that it's just not courageous to have people cutting off body parts because they can't handle
who
they are.
Well, it is,
because
you could die. It's not
no,
courageous.
No.
I guess
not,
there would be another word than courageous. It would be kind of like distorted foolhardy.
Right. I mean, you got to really hate who you are. You got to really not be at peace with who you are. And it doesn't go to the inside. You know, this is just external stuff. So, you know, you think that cutting off parts is going to make you a complete person. You know, think about that. Or attaching a different part is going to make you a complete person. That's the fallacy of plastic surgery and of all this outward stuff that people do. Suddenly I'm a better person because I have a wig on or I've got transplant. Suddenly I'm a more complete person because I have implant surgery, and I'm not saying you're a bad person if you do. I'm not saying that you can't. I'm just saying don't delude yourself into thinking you're a better person. You're always who you are. You're just a spirit trapped inside this little fleshly body, and so you've got to come to peace with who you are inside. And then the other stuff, that's just window dressing, you know.
The thing is I guess the one thing that Caitlyn Jenner has going for him is that he's had a history of managing the media. Like, because of his fame, he's only getting the attention. But it's not like he dropped out of sight after the 76 games. So she obviously knows how to manage the media. I don't know how content Caitlyn Jenner is apart from that public exposure, because I don't have an inside peek to her life, but it seems like she has a lot of friends, at least. So that person probably has some comfort in that.
Well, the thing is, if they wanted to really give a courage award, it would be that when they announced him the winner, that someone would stand up and say boo, or say no, and say you're crazy or you're whack. That would take a lot of courage. See, because people couldn't do that. Everyone's
got
to clap.
Well, he did mention something about name-calling in the speech. Like, I'm sure, did you know that he's probably still being name-called by somebody? People really aren't that tolerant in America. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe one reason Lauren didn't go out for football is because he was afraid. He's never showered with a group of men before. Like, I don't know. Like, some people can't handle being teased.
I don't blame him. I wouldn't want to shower with a group of men either myself, and I'm a guy.
I'm just saying, I was thinking about my background, you know, my life. Like, I was in a public showering place since the age of 12, like since middle school. I don't think he's ever showered in a public place. Like, even when he went to gym practice in middle school. He never showered at the school.
Right. No, I don't blame him. I won't want to put my goodies out there for other guys. Maybe I'm a little.
I was also
going to
mention one other falsehood. You can have a lot of friends around you, but if you're not living a righteous life, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Like, let's say I was 50 pounds lighter and I had four lovers in Duluth and I was out in the club scene every night. I might have a lot of friends, but if they're not righteous friends, does it really matter? Like, you only need two or three good righteous friends. Like, I have friends in the church. I have you. I have Don, who's not necessarily a religious believer. I have other good Christian friends on the West Coast because I was in a church for 25 years. But you can have a lot of friends around you and still not have a life of integrity.
Oh, yeah, as you will find out when I still call him he because he is he, and I know they're going to say that's disrespectful. He's Caitlin. Well, that's fine. It's a dude. I was watching it with a friend, a Christian friend, and he was looking at it. This, and I said, I'm warning you, you're going to turn it on, you know, because he said, oh, this is going to be the ESPY Awards. He's a sports fan. And I said, yeah, you're not going to like it. And they were just presenting Caitlin with the award, and he looked at her and said, that is one ugly dude. I mean, that's just a dude. It's like an ugly gal, you know. It's like, and I have to say, the Vanity Fair pictures, you know, the airbrush stuff, the good angles, she looks decent. She looks, you know, attractive for, you know, a woman of his age. But when you see him just in regular, like, daylight or no makeup or even on a show, it looks like someone in drag. It just does, you know. It just looks like a tranny that you would see on, you know, from Bangkok or, you know, Thailand or somewhere.
I agree. Well, I don't want to criticize his outward appearance because, I don't know. You're right on target.
To not make fun, but I'm just being realistic. I'm being truthful. He looks like a really bad trans, you know, a hooker.
Well, what do you expect when you change genders at age 66? You can't go back to looking like a 30-year-old.
No. No, you can't. And that's the whole point of what I'm saying. It's just like, it looks like a dude. I mean, I'm not even saying, okay, whether you look good or worse at a certain age. I'm just saying he looks like a dude. You can call him a gal.
I think it was you or another friend of mine who said that all his muscular definity, that's not just going to disappear overnight. You can't scalp.
No.
You can't like my neighbor in Reseda, who's transgendered, who was a gorgeous woman and definitely did not look like her original sex. For some reason, she had the muscle tone, the legs and the arms of a woman. Like, she didn't have broad shoulders. She was slender, but a nice rack. But the fact of the matter is that some people can't do it smoothly.
Well, yeah, I mean, you figure Bruce Jenner was not just a champion, he was the world champion in the decathlon. It's not just one event like, oh, you know, he runs or, oh, he lifts some weights. I mean, he's doing like six or seven different
pieces. It was 10 different activities.
Right. So to do that, you got to have big, strong shoulders. You got to have powerful legs. You've got to have a core that's, you know, that is totally championship level to compete and to be the world champion. So it doesn't matter, you know. I mean, he may shrink up a little bit. That happens. And he can certainly take hormones. But that's the whole, that's what really hits to my point. It's like you're doing some crazy stuff. You're taking all these drugs and you're doing all these weird surgeries. This isn't something like, okay, I'm on an island, and I want to change who I am as the way I think. I want to be a better person, or I want to change the way I comb my hair. We're talking about crazy crap. If you and me were on an island, and I said, okay, let's transgender. Let's, you know, you're going to be a guy, I'm going to be a gal. How would you do it? well, let's get some rocks here and start kind of, you know, filing them down, and then we're going to cut your wang wang. Now, it's going to bleed all over the place. We're going to have to get some rope to kind of, you know, put a tourniquet on it. I mean, do you feel bizarre?
This conversation's freaking me out a little.
Well, it should, because that's the problem, is that people make it sanitary, like, oh, he's going through transgender surgery. Realize what that is. You're going and getting a knife and cutting parts of your body off, essential parts that he used to procreate. And then we're going, and then we're going to, you know, rip open your insides and flip it out so that way it looks like a vagina. And you're a courageous person. It's like, you got some psychological issues.
Why can't they
issues.
Just tummy tuck it? Put the sword.
Maybe
they
did.
Well,
maybe they didn't cut anything. They just duct taped it to them, you know?
I'm going to tell you about a different aspect of this whole thing. I work in a company. I'm not going to mention the size or anything, but there's 150 clients. I could say that much. One of them is a transgender. We have LGBT sensitivity stickers that we put in our office. That the fact that we have to be sensitive to this person's needs and other people who identify with opposite sex and what they are, and it penetrates every level of society, even the workplace now.
I'm even sad that you use the word penetrates. But here's the question. You know why they do that? It's because of a lawsuit. They don't want to get sued. How come? Because freaking lawyers. How did we get to this point? Because someone legally went to the grabbed the Constitution and said, okay, we have these rules. Well, first of all, we go to a doctor and we go, is this person sick? And the doctor goes, yeah. And then they go, okay, let's go to a scientist. And then this guy says, well, you know, if we study these brains, you know, it's possible that they were predestined to be this way, the wrong gender and the wrong brain, you know, for the body. So they go, oh, okay, so this is normal. Oh, okay, it's normal. Which is kind of like saying, gosh, his wiring is set up to kill people, so he's not bad. He's courageous. In fact, let's celebrate all the rapists, all the child molesters, all the people who like to sleep with animals. Celebrate this. This is natural to their wiring, and guess what? They're right. Yeah, people have sick wiring. People like to be klepto. Some people like to be arsonists. Does that make them brave? Do we celebrate this? Oh, it's for the children. Oh, do we teach our kids now? You know, you
want
to
hear something sad?
Go for it.
I heard an interview on NPR tonight about this guy who, well, he started out in New York as an investigator, and then he eventually became a criminal novelist. But for a while, he was on the federal dole, too, as a investigator. There's a lot of murderers, arsonists, and people like that on the planet. And one time he had to follow this guy over to Europe. He was a big shot in a company, and he claimed he only had sex four times in his marriage to procreate, and he went ballistic, and after 30 years of marriage, he went and hired a bunch of prostitutes in Europe with the company American Express card. And the guy was able to track him.
Don't leave home without it.
he came to the hotel.
What's
he finally found the guy.
What's in your pocket? I mean, what's in your wallet?
Well, he found the guy due to his purchases with the corporate company card, and there was a line in the hallway of women waiting to make love to him that he had hired. Like one by one, he made a deal with the guy that I won't.
If it was Thailand, half of them would have been trannies too.
Well, he said he made a deal with the guy in this European hotel. I won't turn you in for 48 hours. If you want to have your fun, go have fun. But in 2 days, you're coming home with me because your company's waiting for you. So he made the agreement and he went back and. Basically, he was fornicating for 2 days just because he wanted to get all those 30 years worth of non-sex in. Well, the fact of the matter is that he was talking about many different stories and people's, he said it made him cynical to hear murderers and arsonists and burglars and listening to their confessions. It made him lose faith in humanity having to do that kind of work, because he saw people who had the worst motivations and didn't have legitimate reasons for committing crimes. So the question is what, well, this is not really a question, but what does it take for a person to, he said the main problem with drug dealers and all those other people who committed crimes is they had a faith and they lost their faith. And then they were trying to figure out how to lead a compromised existence. And that's pretty much what Caitlyn Jenner's trying to do. She's trying to change her outward appearance to conform to her inward desires. And she's still not going to, her life is going to be just as hard as a woman as it was a man.
Well, it's as simple as the news. And I mean, this happens every day, but it just, today, you know, a story will jump out of the muck. There's a guy, I think he's 26 years old, arrested in Santa Clarita, picking up a 14-year-old girl, I think probably at the mall or store somewhere, and basically got her phone number, talked to her a little bit, and took her over to his house and was having sex with her. I think it got to the point where I think maybe he was holding her hostage, but in the beginning it was a friendship. But here's what's troubling. It was at his folks' house, and the folks didn't know about it. Didn't know the girl was there while he's having sex with her, and she's underage. And I think she was trying to escape or was thinking about it. Anyway, they tracked her phone, GPSed it, and they found out. Oh, and they called him. He said he didn't know anything about it because his number was in her cell phone. That's what it was. So they called him. He said he didn't know anything about her. And then they did some follow-up, got his address, went over there, and voila, there she is. The point is, oh, and the neighbor said, you know, he was always staring at their daughters, and he was kind of creepy. Well, shouldn't we give him the Courage Award? He had the courage to go out there and to pursue what was in his heart, and this was really what he felt. And you would go, well, but that's creepy. It's a, you know, underage kid. Well, who sets the standard? 14, 15, 12? What's the difference? You know, what makes 14 different than 17, or 17 different than 18? Who sets the standard?
One thing I can say about my child is that he's never gotten into a situation where he's been exposed to drug or alcohol or bad morals. The only bad moral he has is that he spends too much time on Xbox.
Right. Well, that's a good deal. You have a good kid. And
but
if
the
he
fact
has,
of the matter is, why was this on the news? Is it the way he got caught? Is that why it was on the news?
Oh, just because any time in L.A., you know, I mean, in any area, you know, if there's something involving a young gal, you know, being sexually abused or kidnapped, you know, kind of a child molester thing. Oh, he was a sexual predator, so he was already on a list from previous. So that's kind of a bigger issue. Yeah. And,
that's too bad.
So kind of, he slipped through the cracks. But the point is, as a Christian, I could say that was wrong. You know, this guy's just, you know, he has issues. But in the secular world, I go, well, you know, he's a brave guy. He's, you know, he's living out his dream. And who's to say what's right or wrong? You know, we're just animals.
I don't want to say this on the air, but there's a gay person at my work, and he was talking about an underbelly society in Duluth of men who are married who have sexual temptation with other men. And he made it sound like it was a commonplace, but I disagreed with him because I don't think the majority of people spend, they might, okay, let's say there was someone who's an alcoholic who's struggling with sobriety. That's believable. But I don't believe that 50 to 70% of married men in Duluth are secretly wanting to be with a man. I just don't believe it. You know,
I sure hope not. I'll tell you this, though.
All I'm saying is
talk
that
about
he,
crazy.
He's looking for a way for someone to be corrupt, to be like him, because it's a small group. There's only 2% of all of adults in Duluth are gay. He doesn't have any opportunities up here for sexual contact, so he's looking for an opening. And that's all I'm going to say about it because it's a friend of mine. But the fact of the matter
is... Well, I'm sure if he's looking for an opening, he'll find one. You know, what's interesting is, I kind of shivered this one, the fact that they raided Jared from Subway. They raided his house. They're looking for kiddie porn. And he set up... And you go, well, what's... You know,
why?
Hey, everyone has it. Well, apparently, Jared set up a charity for children, like anyway they're disadvantaged or, you know, something to help children. And one of his people underneath him was caught in a sting, and basically he had tons and tons of kiddie porn. So, I don't know, 400 movies, something like that. And because he works for Jared, so they were checking out Jared, and the thing about it is apparently, allegedly, they invested him because this lady who had worked with them at some of the, I think it was a charity fundraisers or something business-oriented, she said Jared made several comments repeatedly about underage girls, you know, like girls in junior high or high school, girls that weren't of age. And, you know, inappropriate stuff. And so she was really turned off and pissed off. So she said she went to the FBI or the police and that she wore a wire and had several conversations and kind of baited him, obviously, but that basically that he incriminated himself. Now, Jared's lawyer says she's fabricating things and this is overhyped and that if he had done anything, they would have already arrested him and that they haven't found anything. I think the police said they haven't found anything criminal or
that
there's a term
rough.
They use. But the point is, you know, that it's like, man, you can't even trust the Subway dude. And I mean, I cringe to think Jared. I mean, he's like, you know, he's like mayonnaise, right? He's kind of like almost all American, like this wholesome, overweight dude.
It could just be speculation, John. He might have just had the wrong people working for him.
Well, someone's lying because this lady says she wore a wire and that he and they wouldn't have. Here's the thing: the police don't raid your house looking for kiddie porn.
Was it on mainstream news or was it local news?
Oh yeah, it's all over. You go on Yahoo or AOL, Verizon, that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, it's one of those like CNN reports. If you go on CNN, they got stuff on it. So,
well, one of the problems is when people get powerful and famous, sometimes their dark side comes out.
Yeah, I hope it's not true. And, you know, innocent until proven guilty. But we're just in an age where, like, with information and social media, you know, you get a guy that's a hero, and then the next minute it's like their closet just is blown open.
Hero to zero?
Huh?
I said hero to zero.
And negative to zero, too.
Some people just can't handle fame, but if he's going to start a children's charity, then he should do it for the right reasons.
Well, that's the thing. It's like if you start a charity and you're a national spokesperson, you can have a closet. You know, you can have stuff, you know, dark monkeys running around in there. You know, we all got stuff. I got stuff. You got stuff. That's fine. But when you're in public with people, you better zip it, right? Because that stuff's going to hit the fan. I mean, what's there to gain?
Sad because he was a no-name who happened to lose about 200 pounds. He had his 15 minutes. He should have just been satisfied with that, not try to ruin his life.
I mean, it's not like he was in Vegas with, you know, two or three of his homies, you know, or friends, and they're, you know, picking up girls on the strip and getting a little crazy, and they rent a room, and, you know, everyone's bragging about their stuff. You know, I can halfway understand that. You're talking to a woman, you're, you know, some kind of charity thing. It, you know, people involved in charity work, they're, like, very idealistic. They're very noble. They, you know, they take pride in their stuff. So you start talking, you know, stuff that's sexual regarding children at your charity, what's this person going to do, right? They're going to lead you
up. Was he saying stuff like, I think that 13-year-old's hot, or what is he saying?
What she insinuated, yeah, that he was making off color, but he's saying inappropriate remarks about young girls. Well, you know, it's going to be sexual in manner, or it's going to be, you know, lustful. I mean, there's not too much you can say about young girls that would be considered inappropriate unless it's sexual.
And
also,
I'm sorry
too,
to hear that about another minor fallen hero, but
yeah,
the other thing
is, even if he didn't get caught, the point is his right-hand man did. It was kiddie porn, and that guy's up the creek. Now, maybe I could see someone's looking on porn, and they click on something by mistake. But if you've got 400 hits on kiddie porn, unless there's a mistake, you know, unless it's like you entered a site that has kiddie porn, but really there's just other stuff that you're looking at. The point is, if you're looking 400 times at kiddie porn, you're a pedophile. But
I think there's a way that police can remotely access your online use nowadays too. I'm not really sure how, but there is a way. Now, I want to mention one thing that we forgot to mention. It's July 15th going into July 16th. Jade Helm is starting today.
Yes, it's supposed to be the end of the world, and we're not going to have any money in 1 week. It's possible.
My money at home and half in the bank.
I think, you know, kind of like, and Don and us, we talked about it, and, you know, Don was kind of like very fatalistic, like this is the end of the world, and he could be right, but I think a lot of this stuff, it blows over, and then it hits a little later in a different way. It's a little more subliminal.
The thing is that it was exciting when we first heard about it. It's pretty much just going to be a series of military exercises. Yes, they're taking over private, land holdings like Walmart. It is a little frightening. It has something to do with the Mexican government, and I think Donald Trump does have a point that the Mexican government and our dealings with them is corrupt. But the fact of the matter is it's not going to be center news. It's not center stage news.
Yeah, you know, I dog sit, and the dog loves to chase the ball. And I love to throw the ball, kick the ball down the hall. The dog kind of takes like a goalie position, like it's guarding the hallway. And I'm coming up with the ball, and I'm walking kind of stealth-like, like I'm stalking, you know, the ball. And she gets in a stance, and, you know, if I start fake to kick the ball, she, like, lurches to whatever side, like she's all over it like a goalie. And the point is, if I kick it on the first shot, that dog will probably get it. I mean, she's good. She'll catch it on the fly. She'll knock it down. The way to get it past her is I fake it, and I fake again. Fake again. I kind of kick it a little bit to the side. It's kind of like a soccer player kind of getting ready. And when she least expected it, boom, I nail it. And because the dog doesn't, you know, it's hard to keep your attention for 30 seconds. And you can do it for like 5 seconds. But the point is, the attention, you know, drifts a little, and boom, I look for the opening. I think Jade Helm and all this kind of stuff, it's like that. First shot, everyone's looking, you know. What's his name? The martial arts dude. He did Walker, Texas Ranger. Chuck.
Yeah,
we
mentioned him on the show. He was going to fight it. It'll come, Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris, you know, Bruce Lee's whipping boy. But, you know, Chucky, you know, I mean, he's all over it. And people in Texas are all over it. Everyone's all over it. Probably nothing will happen.
But the point is, people are aware it's gonna play out differently. It wasn't a secret anymore.
Right, so they can keep doing this, and then we got another one, and we got another one, and we got another one, and then boom, oh, stock market just collapsed. Boom, oh, you know, someone just shifted, you know, billions and billions of dollars here and there. Oh, that's when it happens. Like, no one's expecting it. You get complacent. You're not watching. Like the dog, you know.
I think that...
Your attention drifts.
I don't think anything's going to take us by surprise, but... I guess we're going to have to wind the show now because I'm at work. I have a question for you. The Iran deal is almost over now for the nuclear thing. The Iran deal with President Obama's administration and the country of Iran. There was a general in the press conference today who morally attacked Obama on his stance on Iran, and President Obama fought back with strong words, challenging this man who questioned his integrity. So the bottom line is that we are trying to deal with a country that used to be our friend up until Khomeini took over in the early 80s. So are we doing a good thing or a bad thing?
I think the concept is good, but I don't even know the details. I don't even know how they're going to work it. Maybe it's the greatest thing, the best move we should have done. Maybe it's all about world peace and communication. I just think we're dealing with some really shady people. And
Why do you say that?
Because how many years have they been saying, well, we're not doing anything for nuclear weapons. We're just coming up with a nuclear power plant. Oh, you know, these rods we're getting and this plutonium. We wouldn't ever think of, like, making a bomb that might blow up Israel. Anyone that's counter to
us. What makes the Iranians any less moral than us? I mean, we've had nuclear control since the 50s.
I think it's called killing people, cutting people's hands off, beheading them, having hostages that Jimmy Carter couldn't free and that Ronald Reagan did in one day. Stuff like that. Because it's called jihad, they would celebrate our death. We don't run around yelling, you know, death to Iran. I mean, maybe some people do, but I've never known anyone personally do that. But I turn on the news, and it's like they're marching even in this country, you know. Death to Americans, United States. They want to burn it down. Not all of them, but the radicals, the clerics, they wouldn't mind.
Part of it is just bad publicity, like the way that they have their news media outlets. There's a strong portion of Iranians that want to go back to higher education. They want more secularization of their government.
The leadership, it'd be like saying, you know, here's what it's like. The difference is this. We have the KKK, we got racists, we got skinheads, et cetera, right? We don't have a KKK president. We don't have a skinhead president. We don't have the leader of our largest churches being, you know, that kind of crazy. And that's the difference. In Iran, these clerics, you know, they go with the radicals. They teach them and they promote it, and they don't talk it down. That's the difference. You know, our leadership tries to, like, filter it down, tone it down. They're not the ones who want to nuke everyone.
Their society is theocratic, where the top leaders are a group of wise men in Saudi Arabia, it's different because the royal family is mixed in with the Islamic Council who they consult – but in Iran, the top leadership is like the kind of like the Pharisees in the Jewish society. They're the top decision makers. They have most of the control.
Oh, yeah.
The peons don't have control. Now, I do have to make one comment. We have to make our closing arguments because I'm in a commitment situation here, and I want to play one more of your songs, and I have something to do right now in my time commitment without being too open about my life.
Yes.
In other words, I have to go because I have something to do, in simple terms.
So that makes
what
sense.
Is your closing thought for the night? We've covered Caitlyn Jenner, the Iran nuclear deal, the political elections. What's your final thought?
My final thought is follow the truth wherever it leads you, unless it leads you to a closet behind a subway next to Jared's house.
My final thought is that there's a lot of examples to follow in the media, many good and many bad. If you follow your desires, you're not going to be in the happy zone because there's too much far-fetched corruption nowadays, even in the happy zone. So the one good thing that I pulled away from just watching the news for only an hour today is I like Gene Simmons' imagery of thinking that we are still an individual citizenry where we can make our own decisions and that the power players are not just imposing themselves on us. We could vote for the third-party candidate if we want. It's within our right to choose. So even though I have sour grapes over election cycles and the way our candidates are treated after they've been picked, I still somewhat believe in the dialogue of America. I enjoy it, and it keeps me going on different levels. So that's about all I have to say. Should I play Human Tragedy, Light of the Tunnel, Sorry, or Carry On tonight?
Let's go with Human Tragedy, and hopefully to kind of go to the point I didn't really answer the question is, I love that we're just seeking peace with Iran and seeking to control the nuclear situation as long as we can really verify and it's really legitimate. Or if they're just talking to us, you know, shaking their head, yes, while they're underneath the table, they're building their nukes and they're walking away laughing at our president like he's this little kind of Boy Scout, naive, you know, kind of dude. Hopefully that's not the case. And hopefully they got it under control.
Well, you know, my last comment in relationship to yours is that I'm happy that we're talking to Iran because we're not talking to North Korea. I don't think they're all crazy. I think most of those people there are subject to a very overpowering regime with little control over their lives. And we just have to remember they're people, too. They're not a bunch of Jew killers. I'm sure some people are brainwashed into thinking that, but the bigger looming crisis in the Middle East is the ISIS, the ones that aren't part of a national boundary, that are just trying to influence people based on their destruction of power. So let's just remember that not all Americans are bad. We're not just a reflection of how people perceive us overseas. We're all different types of people here. So we should all give people the benefit of the doubt. That's what a strong Christian would do, a loving Christian. So with that, I'll play your song, okay? Stay tuned. Good night.
All right.
Thanks for joining me, and I'll tag the show Jared the Subway Disaster. Okay, here we go.
All right.
Don?
Hello.
You can make another conclusion while I'm typing the, I'm revising the detailed description. The headline of the show is Why Gene Simmons is Smarter Than the Whole 2016 Presidential Pack, and then colon, Jared's Sub Flub, because I didn't have room to write another sentence.
I like that. That's better than, hey, Jared, is that mayonnaise on that Subway?
Do you want French fries with that shake? Okay, I have to set the phone down, so go ahead and talk for 3 or 4 more minutes till I can't close the episode out until I save it. So I'm giving you
the
floor
way,
for three.
What time is it, by the way?
It's 2 a.m. your time, so just you can hang up, but I would like you to stay on 2 more minutes while I finish typing.
Oh yeah, just the Ralph's closes at 2. I'm walking through their. I just want to make sure like I'm in the store before they close. So I am.
Okay,
so I'll
keep you on the line. How close are you?
Oh, I'm just walking through the store.
Okay, well, I gotta set the phone down a minute. Go ahead and talk.
Okay. This is John Yoder. Once again, I've assumed control of the show, as usual. And to those still listening at the wee hours of the morning, remember, it's not as bad as you think it is. It's worse. And with that, it means relax. Life is just temporary, and it's not forever, so don't overly stress about it. Just know what you're here on the planet to do, what you believe in, and take it one day at a time. Don't overstress on stuff, because stress will still kill you. It's bad for you. And get a Subway sandwich, because you know, Jared's just a spokesperson. He's a human with good traits and bad traits, and let the police figure this out. But in the meantime, have a Subway sandwich. They're healthy for you. You'll live long. How's that for a promotion? Ah. Cool. That's okay. I'm actually at Ralph's. He's letting them close up.
John?
Hello.
I'm going to play another song. Were you talking?
Yeah, until just a moment ago. I was just checking out. They want to get me out of the store.
Okay, you can hang up. No, I'm gonna play another song, okay? I'm playing Light Up Tunnel.
Okay, I'm good to go.
All right, have a good one. God bless you. Bye.
You too. Rock and roll.
Text me when you get home so I know you got home safe. Okay? Good night.
Yeah.
Good night. Bye.
We'll
That was some great stuff. John, you're on mute. You're not in the penalty box. I'm ending the show. Have a great night, everybody.